Hey guys, Justin here. We're going to get to the podcast in just a second, but first I want to give a thanks to Blue Wire sponsors for this week, Indochino, ShipStation, and Harry's. If you've seen RJ Barrett pregame this year, you know that Indochino has been helping stylish Canadians like him and myself look great all year. But Indochino is not just there for people north of the border. They're here for everybody. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. They make suits, shirts, coats, and more. And everything is made to your exact measurements for a great fit. Indochino's process is simple. You choose your fabric, pick your customizations, and submit your measurements. Your package will be delivered straight to your door within 2 weeks. You can get measured and design your suit at your nearest Indochino showroom or do it all yourself online at Indochino.com. Right now, you can get $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Blue Wire at checkout. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Blue Wire, for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. An incredible deal for made-to-measure clothing. You really have no excuse anymore to wear clothing that doesn't fit. And now, to the podcast.
Blue Wire.
It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton. Some rhythm.
And he got it! Young Bro continues to wear him out!
Do you know what the Cavs fans are calling the Darius Garland, Colin Sexton backcourt?
What?
Sexland.
Oh, that's good.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. What a terrible night for my fantasy hockey team. Just brutal. Got guys on the IR. Landeskog's not back. Hornquist is out. Alex Edler's now on IR. I'm just in shambles. It's a real tough year for your boy. So I'm going to take some of the pressure and find some escapism in talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, no.
What a cast I have today. That voice you hear is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
I'm grumpy. I wasted one of my last free available evenings as a not father on that fucking garbage.
Oh, man. Honestly, I think more people are going to tune in now because people seem to love Grumpy Carter. But if they're not coming for Grumpy Carter, they're coming for our other co-host today. Lazarus Jackson is with us today, host of the Pistons vs. Everybody podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network as well. Laz, how's it going, man?
I'm doing great. And the only season I played fantasy hockey, I won my championship because I was the only person who bothered to set my lineups daily. So...
See, we got a pool with me and my friends, and last year was the first year we did pick trading. I won the league, but a bunch of people just had a fire sale at the end of the year, so they would have like six picks in the first two rounds.
Wait, you had a bunch of processors in your league? How dare they?
Big time. It was awful. We've changed the rules around, but we are not here to talk about that at all. We are here to talk about the absolute beatdown the Detroit Pistons put on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Coming into this podcast, and my process typically whenever we have a guest on is I like to think about, okay, well, where might this podcast go? What I was kind of hoping for was either a competitive game or the Cavs win, and we get to talk about how the Detroit Pistons are probably a better team than their record. They made that point for me tonight. Laz, walk me through some of your thoughts as you got your first glimpse, real good glimpse of the Cavs this season.
So the thing that I immediately noticed was that Kevin Love only took seven shots. Like,
yeah.
Love is a guy who I imagine would thrive in a beeline system, but it seems like between the fact that you've got, you know, two very young guards, one relatively young wing and starting lineup, those guys aren't doing the best job of distributing. Mm-hmm. Love himself is just kind of floating through games. And so like, that was what really stood out to me. On the other hand, like Blake Griffin made like six threes, like just threes. And so like that, the winning that matchup is really useful if you're trying to beat.
Do you remember that it was when Love was still in Minnesota and Griffin was still in LA, and they just like each dropped 50 on each other?
No.
It was just it was at least it was like 30 a piece. And like, it was funny because both were bad defenders and both were ill-equipped to stop what the other one did well at the time. And boy, do I long for those days right now. I mean, Kevin Love never woke up in this game. Well,
see, you got to remember, for me, all of my Kevin Love memories are like Tobias Harris being unable to like do anything with him in a playoff series for four games. And so, like, yeah, we have differing perspectives on like how good
Kevin Love is. It's kind of funny to see the Kevin Love, Blake Griffin parallels, because obviously both guys have done a lot of work on their game over the years. I think Blake's transformation has been a little bit more dramatic just because he's added so much to his game. But even now, you have two teams that are below 500. Obviously, the Pistons are in a much better position, but the conversations around both players are similar. They're tremendous basketball players that can help a lot of teams. But how people view them as an asset is different based on their contract and kind of what they're prioritizing with team building. Both players you see mentioned in targets for trades and things like that. But on the other hand, Griffin showed tonight that, hey, when you have him on your team, it makes watching basketball entertaining. It gives you something to look for. And now that he's healthy and back in the lineup, I expect the Pistons to get back in the playoff picture. Obviously, Kevin Love didn't do the same thing tonight, but these are guys that can really raise the floor of your team.
No, absolutely. I think the biggest thing that Blake has actually brought is like an off the court, like leadership perspective. Like We talked a little bit about how the Pistons have been underperforming. Part of that is they've lost three games against the Hornets by a combined 7 points already.
Damn.
That's rough. Ooh. And so after the last one, Blake came out and was like, this is unacceptable. Like, we can't like live like this. Like, I'm trying to remember the exact quote. He's like, we love to win, but like, mm-hmm. we're not willing to fight for it. And it's just like you need a dude who's like willing to say that in the locker room and like openly to the media. And like, since then they've won two straight games by 30 points.
Yeah.
Feels good. And like,
yeah, I mean, you look at the East standings right now and the Pistons are currently out of the playoff race. Just a couple losses behind the Magic right now. Mm-hmm. Their point differential after that shit kicking is up to +1. It was like, I think minus 0.5. Prior.
Yeah, we're great for that.
And prior to the game on Sunday, it was like in the like -2-ish mm-hmm. range.
Yeah. What's kind of your thoughts on the state of the Pistons? Like, where do you want to see how do you want to see this season play out?
So it's really, there's like this huge bifurcation among the fan base.
Especially bifurcation after, like, podcast.
What a great
That's a $5 word.
Especially after the third, once you lose three times to Charlotte, people are like, blow this up. Like, I'm sick of this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's still like less than, or you just now hit 20 games. You're barely a fourth of the way through the season. It's way too early to blow it up, but you understand why people are frustrated, right? Like, you can't even make the playoffs over an Orlando Magic team that's currently like missing their best player. Like, mm-hmm. that doesn't look great. But at the same time, like, Blake started the year hurt. He missed the first 10 games and it took him another five or so games to get his feet under him. Mm-hmm. Reggie Jackson started the year hurt. Like, he's still out. They just got the news that he will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. And so like, that will be like a roughly like 7 week injury for him.
Right.
And like Reggie Jackson's been vital to this team's success, despite the fact that like, he's Reggie Jackson. So it's whatever. And this team still makes a lot of sense in theory on paper. It just needs to start winning games, and it looks like that might start happening. Of course, you know, they play Milwaukee tomorrow. I'm going to talk to Ty. They're going to blow us out by 20. I'm going to be sitting where you guys are sitting tomorrow, and we'll be straight. So,
hey, you never know. I mean, the Cavs did beat the Bucks last year somehow, so the stranger things have happened. There are some good stories with the Pistons as well. I almost said the Bucks because you got my mind floating there. Bruce Brown Jr. Has been very solid.
Brown.
Did I say? No, I didn't say Brown.
No, you didn't. You didn't. But
I had something in my throat and I powered through it. That's what happened. But thank you for derailing the podcast.
If only the Cavs could do that. All right, anyway.
Mental toughness, Carter. That's what I bring to the table. He's been a pleasant surprise. I think this was probably the first time a lot of Cavs fans got to see him. Has been an impact defender. I think he hit a couple threes tonight, which is very good to see. Has he been kind of one of the brighter surprise spots of this team, or is there someone else you have in mind?
I think the brightest surprise spot would have to be like Luke Kennard. Like, honestly,
dude, I feel like he's shown it for like in these little spurts the last couple of years, and it's just come together for him in such a crazy way.
So at first it was like he would kind of really subside himself when Blake was on the floor. He would really defer to Blake. Right. And without Blake for the first 10 games this season, he was like scoring like 22 a game, shooting I think like over 40% from three. And then Blake came back, and it took him a while to kind of find his footing. But I think you saw tonight, like, he was able to get into the paint against a bigger guy like Chetty. That's a really good sign. Even if he was using that paint time to throw Andre Drummond bounce passes he couldn't catch.
Yeah.
but it's really good to see, like, Luke develop into, like, a legitimately productive and useful and efficient offensive player. Now, like, Bruce is like his opposite, right? Like, Bruce is productive and efficient defensively.
Yeah.
Able to attack the rim. Him playing point guard and starting at point guard, I think, is like a year ahead of schedule, and that's because of the Reggie Jackson injury.
Yeah. But
he's done a fairly good job of it. Doesn't turn the ball over, which is like a huge thing for a guy his age. Is starting to be better about like attacking the rim in like something other than a straight line drive. And even like can bust out a floater every now and again. We saw in summer league, he can pass. He's putting up triple doubles in summer league. And so it's an exciting time for like the young guys, but like that hasn't necessarily led to wins until the last two games. Right.
Yeah. And I think that he probably deserves some response, some credit for taking Garland out of this game. He was on Garland for a lot of the night. I thought he made some really, really good passes. That was the aspect of his game that I was a little bit surprised about. Luke Kennard is somebody that I always thought was going to pan out and be a good player. As Carter mentioned, he did have these flashes. So it is nice to see him kind of have that breakthrough season somewhat with consistency, and hopefully now that Blake's back full time, he's going to continue to be productive. But yeah, this was just such a painful night, and it was just another example of teams with length really giving this Cavs team problems.
Who else really gives this Cavs team's problem?
NBA Justin. Teams.
Yeah, teams. teams are just really hard. Basketball teams primarily. Like, if you put a soccer team out there, I think the Cavs could win.
Well, I had to step on your joke because you jumped all over me as I was powering through something in my throat. So I had to take some of the thunder away there.
Well, speaking of like long, lanky dudes, though, I wanted to ask you guys about like KPJ. Like, that's a dude that a lot of Pistons fan had interest in. Like, obviously, they could have taken him at that pick, and it was before it was traded to Milwaukee and traded to you guys and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And you know, he didn't look bad tonight. Like, how's he been so far this year?
He's just been really first off, I think both of us are definitely on board. I think we both believe in him as a player and as a prospect, and we think that there's something there that can get figured out. I mean, the biggest thing with him is consistency and really just the broke ass form on that jumper.
I like that he's out there with Dellavedova, so it doesn't look like he has the worst jumper on the court.
Jesus, man. It's like I honestly don't know how he doesn't like tear some ligament in his elbow at the angle that his off arm goes.
Well, no, I was thinking like you're playing him at the same time as like Jordan Clarkson, and it's just like the Spider-Man pointing meme where like they're both just like chucking. It's like, no, like give that guy some structure. Like,
play. Well, Porter actually, yeah, and that's been an interesting thing with him is he does have some juice as a cutter. He's shown that he's got good timing as a cutter, which is not something I was expecting.
And
as a passer, but I think you're right to say that, like, you know, when your options are busted ass jumper Deli, Nance, or returning Henson, and then Clarkson, it's like his propensity is going to be to chuck, and like that, I think the Cavs need to find ways to avoid that. But overall, I've been mostly pretty pleased with him. I mean, obviously, the jumper is bad, even if the results are okay sometimes.
Yeah, the flashes with him are really encouraging. I think everybody understood that it was going to take some time for him to round out his game, and he's a lot further ahead of schedule than I think almost everybody anticipated. He has good instincts on defense, still can get a little too handsy and called for fouls, but overall, I think a lot of people are impressed with what he can do defensively when he's locked in there. Passing's a pleasant surprise. He can create space. He just can't really convert those jumpers. So all the tools are there, and the flashes are exciting, and his great games are really, really encouraging. He's just going to be one of those guys that if you look at his averages over the course of the season, you're going to say, okay, well, there's nothing really to his rookie season. But if you watch him all 82 nights and you see those bright flashes, you can see that there is a player there and somebody that has one of the probably higher upsides in the draft, in my opinion.
Yeah, Laz, something you're going to really like about this Cavs team is that all of their numbers except Tristan and Kevin are terrible, but trust us, there's flashes.
Well, no, I remember like 2 weeks ago when you guys were trumpeting the net rating of their starting lineup, and I was like, there's some stuff there, maybe. Maybe
nope.
There just, was even people games. Beyond us, even folks like Zach Lowe and all that were saying, hey, there's something to the starting lineup. And
not lately.
So I actually wrote about this after the Sword doing the recap for this game. So I tried my best to soldier through that. And one of the observations I had with them defensively is the starting lineup at the beginning of the year, they were playing pretty good positional defense. Now it seems like a lot of guys are trying to make the home run plays, the hero plays, jumping passing lanes, trying to kind of blitz with help defense. And it just leads to breakdowns. They're not good enough defensively to play that way. And I especially think the young guards need to put some emphasis on just solid team positional defense. Because as we saw against Detroit, teams are going to make you pay if you leave guys that open. They're able to make those reads.
It was funny for a brief moment today. I had the thought that every fan of a bad team has, which is like, man, the Cavs could use some luck with opponent 3-point shooting. But like, it just feels like they're making every one. It's like, yeah, if you leave them wide open for every single one, it's going to feel like a lot more go in. Well, I mean,
what was funny to me was like when you the Detroit TV crew like put up a shot graphic of where all the threes came from. And like 2/3 of their threes are just like left wing, left corner.
Yeah.
You easily see like, okay, so what's happening is like they're running high pick and roll. Somebody's like hedging and they're just kicking it out to the corner. And like that guy's wide open.
Yeah. If you leave NBA players open when an NBA player has the ball, they are going to find that guy reliably.
Colin Sexton. Am I right, fellas?
But no, they're going to make those deliveries reliably, and so will ShipStation. With the holiday rush being here, you have to be able to ship your orders out quickly, efficiently, and affordably. But how do you keep track of all those orders, decide which shipping carrier to use, or if you're getting the best rates? Luckily, ShipStation can help. With just a few clicks, you'll be managing orders, printing labels, and getting those products out the door and delivered on time for the holidays. ShipStation works with all the major carriers, including the U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, and UPS, so you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. Take the hassle out of holiday shipping this year. Let ShipStation help you handle it all with ease. Just use my offer code BLUE to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free of no-hassle, stress-free holiday shipping. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in BLUE. That's ShipStation.com, then enter offer code BLUE. ShipStation.com, make ship happen, Carter.
Woo! The Cavs certainly didn't make ship happen tonight, and they certainly weren't sharp. You know what you can always rely on to be sharp, Justin?
What's that, Carter?
Razors from our good friend at Harry's. Listeners of this show can get $5 off any Harry's shave set by heading to harrys.com/bluewire. Free shipping ends on December 16th, so you better act now. Here's why it's a great deal for you or any dude or hell lady in your life that that is in need of a gift. Holiday set start at just $20. That's within Secret Santa limits, you corporate drones. And Harry's Blade refills are as low as $2 each, so your guy will save money over time. Comes ready to gift in a handsome holiday gift box. I kind of want to buy one just for the box. And your gift gives back. This is a lovely little thing that Harry's is doing. 1% of each sale goes to will be donated to charitable organizations. Love to see that from Harry's. They were charitable with me after I lost my travel cover. They're charitable with everyone else too. As a special offer for fans of the show, we partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including the holiday limited edition sets when you go to harrys.com/bluewire. Plus, you'll get free shipping. Each Harry's set comes with a weighted handle with an option to engrave. Ever heard of it? 5-blade razor cartridges, foaming shave gel for a rich lather, travel cover to protect your blades, packaged again in a handsome holiday gift box. That's actually in the copy, handsome, which I like. Free shipping ends on December 16th, so act now. Just go to harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire. Now, Justin.
What's up?
I just had to, you know, I'd taken a little break from Harry's because, you know, we're beard boys. You know, yeah. we don't need to burn through, you know, nine razors.
No Shave November, like it.
Yeah. You know, I don't need to burn through like a six thing of razors. You know, I shave maybe once, twice, three times a month. So I paused it, but I just refreshed and I got that, that aftershave with aloe, a little treat myself purchase. Can't wait for it to show up.
Man, speaking about gifts around the holiday time and shipping, what do you think, Laz, what do you think the Pistons are going to do with Andre Drummond? Because I think he's somebody that I've seen non-Pistons fans talk about as either a target in free agency, maybe somebody at the deadline. I know it's kind of been an up and down relationship with Pistons fans over the years. He's made some strides in kind of defending the rim and just his overall defensive game. But what is kind of your take on what Drummond has become and where he fits into the Pistons' long-term plans?
So Drummond has improved year over year, but right. that development has not always been linear and has not always been shown up like consistently. And so like, that's always the thing, right? There's definitely been fewer times when he's been like the moody guy who like doesn't try on defense, but mm-hmm. it's still there. And now he's sort of trying to do too much on offense. You saw some of the outlet passes tonight. He got stripped down the stretch of a Charlotte game that helped them lose that game. And so like, you can tell the coaching staff told him like, don't dribble it down the court anymore. Cause he was definitely doing that to try and initiate offense. And so like, it's just people are just really frustrated with Andre. But my thing has always been, you know, not that many other teams have cap space this offseason. Mm-hmm. Not that many other teams are in dire need of a starting level, like all-star level caliber center. And so like, if you can get Dre on a relatively like valuable deal for an extended period of time to lock him up the rest of his prime, you should absolutely do that. Right. Having talented
what
players
is that
is
kind
better,
of deal look like?
Having talented players is better than not having talented players. And I've always said 4 years, 110.
Okay.
That feels reasonable. And I do think that there's this, with players in the archetype of Drummond that, you know, are good, not great, and that would not draw a ton of interest. Like, it's so funny. These guys were always like, well, the Pistons can't pay him. They can't max him. But they also assume that nobody
and also
else
like,
wants them.
No one is talking about maxing him. Yeah, no like, one. No one wants to give him a full 30% max. Nobody.
Yeah, he actually asked them not to because it's too much pressure. but like, I just think that there's this weird like discourse gap where we want to pretend like the team that it will have to max him to keep him, but then we also acknowledge that no one else would want to max him. So it's like, well, it seems like there could be something worked out here. Like the discourse gets like messed up somewhere and I don't know how to fix that.
Yeah, it gets dunked on sometimes.
Oh, you asshole.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh.
No, I mean, so he tweeted. It's funny because he tweeted about Drummond during the game and then Andre like put up a damn near 5x5. And so it's like, well, don't you look stupid, Nate. Whatever.
Yeah.
The
person I'm actually more interested in, I know we kind of moved off him, but I think it's kind of worth noting just to continue those parallels with the Cavs because with the Cavs, everyone wants the Cavs to trade Kevin Love for peanuts. Mm-hmm.
Specifically in the to Portland.
Media. Yeah, specifically to Portland. But to any contender, just to get him out of Cleveland and somewhere more interesting. And, you know, they cite the contract, they cite the age, they cite injuries. Sure sounds like a certain power forward in Detroit. And, you know, where do you stand on, like, where you want Blake Griffin to fit into this Pistons team? I mean, are you on the fence of just trade him to get off that horrible, horrible deal, which is obviously much worse than Kevin's, but nevertheless, he's probably a little bit better than Kevin right now.
Yeah, he's been so good for the fan base to, like, finally have an actual star to, like, hold on to in Detroit that I think even having him as just, like, a guy who plays 60 games a year and produces at, like, a close to all-star level, if that's ultimately, like, what he ends up being, like, 2 years from now, I think that's fine. I wouldn't necessarily, like, re-sign him for the same contract he's got now, especially mm-hmm. since he'll be, I think, like, 32 or 33 by the time that rolls around.
Right.
But, like, what he brings as a leader is just, like, so valuable for a team that, like, has been kind of just drifting aimlessly for, like, the last decade or so, ever since the Chauncey Billups trade.
And let's say a team did want to come calling, and
it would take a lot. It would take a lot.
You would ask for, you would not ask for just cap relief.
No. You'd want picks, and you'd want, like, one young guy. Man, I'd be willing to eat some bad salary, but, like, give me, like, some picks and, like, one young guy.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. I don't know. It's just so funny that the people who want teams like the Cavs and Pistons to make these kind of deals are typically the ones who don't have to watch these guys.
Yeah.
Right. And then they shame them for tanking and, oh my God, well it's they don't deserve, like, a high pick, blah, blah, blah.
Making the 8 seed in the East is just so useless from a team building perspective. There's no value in making the playoffs, blah, blah, blah.
But also, we got to fix tanking.
Yes, yes, right. Absolutely.
God,
no, people don't know what they want. You know what? That's what drives me nuts about this whole NBA ratings discussion, is because there's no way to know what the real cause is. Everyone just lays it on whatever their biggest gripe is. If it's tanking, they'll mention that. If it's teams in LA having star power, they'll say that. If it's LeBron has ruined the league, Sam and Andy will do that. Like, there's just everyone will find their angle for this one. Harden will get some blame too. So
social media inside the NBA, right?
Absolutely. Like, it's all of that. It probably isn't that all the star power is in the West and the star power that's in the East is hurt. And if nobody's watching the early games, they're probably not going to go over to the evening games.
No, that couldn't be it.
No, absolutely not. It couldn't be
LeBron
that.
LeBron in the East is a cheat code that the league never should have let leave.
Yeah, we'll blame Nike for that one because they're the one that paid him to go to L.A.
Brother.
So if the Pistons do kind of execute your vision or at least your preference of keeping Griffin around from a leadership standpoint, very, very similar to what we've kind of wanted from Kevin Love. What would you want to see from them this season? Because obviously they aren't in the upper echelon of teams in the Eastern Conference. Do you want them to be buyers? What assets would would you be comfortable parting with to improve this product? What would be the direction that you'd like to see?
So I just had a big long podcast on Sunday about how I'd be comfortable trading the first round pick this year for mm-hmm. immediate help, which sounded like blasphemy before they, like, beat the Spurs by 30 and beat Cleveland by 30 and are now only 5 games under 500.
And that's the Pistons versus Everybody podcast on the Blue Wire Network that you guys can all check out.
Yeah, we didn't really plug that, did we?
I did earlier.
No, he got it in there. He got it in there.
I'm a bad listener.
I like the love.
But, okay, that's good.
But yeah, no, I mean, they have, you know, Reggie Jackson's an $18 million expiring contract. Somebody will want that, right? Langston Galloway has a $7 million expiring contract and has been playing really well for whatever it's worth. So, like, you probably can't get another, like, starter for Langston, but mm-hmm. you can get another rotation level player, one that adds a little bit more size in the perimeter, maybe a little bit better team defender or something like that. So yeah, I would be interested in, like, small additions to this team to make to shore up their weaknesses of, like, guarding bigger wings. Like, they have No, they're going to play the Bucks tomorrow. I think they've lost to the Bucks like 8 straight times. They have like literally no one on the roster who can guard Giannis. And I know no one in the league can guard Giannis, so that's not really that much of a problem. But like, they also have nobody who can guard Chris Middleton. And that is a problem. You can't not guard both of those guys at the same time.
Yeah, I think the Cavs can relate pretty well to this right now. These teams are more similar than you think, you know, loaded up with expirings, washed, you know, a power forward that was once a superstar that a lot of people think is washed up.
Both cities have a complicated relationship with Dan Gilbert. It's all there.
young guards in the backcourt. Yeah, I'm with you.
So is Milwaukee the team, when you look at the Eastern Conference, that you say that's kind of the cream of the crop? That's Cream City, baby. Or is there another team?
God, I hate those uniforms so much.
It's so bad. It is so bad. I feel like they're trying to capitalize on the sex line movement, and they're pivoting. Now they
that's probably what the Bucks marketing team was thinking.
I think so. I think Wendy sold us out when he mentioned it to the national audience. They're like, oh, man, we got to get this Cream City thing going.
Definitely. Guys, I think those Chase Down boys sold 19 shirts. We gotta get on this.
It definitely wasn't the guys at Nike working for like 8 months before you even came up with Sexland, because they hadn't drafted Garland yet.
Couldn't have been.
Absolutely not. Couldn't have been. But is Milwaukee the cream of the crop? Pardon the pun.
Yeah. Before the season, I would have said Philadelphia. And, you know, they've started relatively slow. Philadelphia, to me, like, looks more suited to a team to play in the playoffs than during the regular season. Like, they only go 8 or so deep. They're long as hell. They're tall as hell. And they're willing to win a game like 88 to 85, which is sometimes like what it takes in the playoffs. So although I think Milwaukee is a better regular season team, I'm still looking at Philly as like the top of the class in the East, personally.
How would you – what I'm trying to figure out is how to tier out the Eastern Conference, because my impulse is to – kind of do roughly what we had preseason, which is tier one is Milwaukee and Philly. Mm-hmm. And then tier two is this kind of morass of Toronto, Miami, Boston, Indy, maybe Brooklyn, if they get healthy, you know. But like, I don't know if that's necessarily true anymore. And I'm trying to figure out, Justin's going to make fun of me, but like, how seriously do we take Toronto here?
I would take them seriously. I really don't want to make fun of you on this. Pascal Siakam is fantastic this year. The fact that they won without Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka should actually kind of let people know that this team's pretty legitimate. Like, you've had a lot of guys step up this season. Their young guys have developed behind the veterans. And the fact that they didn't even really lose anything without Lowry and Ibaka being out might give Masai some firepower on the trade market to help improve this team. I still think they're ultimately a piece away, but teams like Toronto and Toronto and Miami, even if they can't necessarily win it all, I could see them beating any team in the Eastern Conference in a playoff series. I don't know if they can win four rounds in the playoffs, but those teams, they're legitimate in my eyes.
Laz, let me clean up the question, because I didn't frame it very well. How many teams can make it to the finals in the Eastern Conference right now?
Oh, yeah, two.
You really think just two? Because I don't know if I believe that.
So I like just going from the bottom up, like, Brooklyn is like the opposite of Philly, where that team is built to win during the regular season and like not anywhere else. They shoot a bunch of threes and don't play defense. Like, that's not a winning formula in the playoffs. I'm sorry. I like what Indiana's done. I need to see what Victor Oladipo looks like when he comes back, which sounds like it could be happening sooner rather than later. I think he's got according to like Tony East, he's got like media availability tomorrow in Fort Wayne with the Mad Ants. So like maybe there's some news there, maybe not, who knows. Boston needs a big man. They need to trade for a defensive center. I have every confidence that they'll do that. Maybe that's Marc Gasol.
Hang on. I got to get a joke in. You have confidence that Danny Ainge is going to use assets in the trade market?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my absolutely. God. All right.
Shocker.
Yeah.
I think he's going to roll with Daniel Tice personally.
It's like, I love Time Lord just as much as the rest of NBA Twitter, but like, am I going to play him 15 minutes in a playoff game? Probably not.
I hope they give up their treasure chest of assets to get Aaron Baines.
That's exactly what they need.
He would be so perfect, too.
It's such a good fit.
Such a good fit.
They're like the Lakers. They don't know how to develop anyone. They leave and they look good. It's probably that they get proper coaching for the first time in their careers.
Woo!
Ooh.
Justin, I must ask, though, do you agree with that statement that only two teams can make the finals in the East?
No. I think there's a bunch of teams that are a piece away. I don't know why I went so dramatic with my nopes, but
that was quite dramatic.
I think so much of this is going to come down to matchups in the East. I think a lot of these teams are going to be buyers at the deadline. I think experience matters. I think Toronto probably has an edge, and I mean, I hate giving Toronto this type of credit just because of how much Raptors fans annoy me, but at the same time, I do love all of Raptors media pretty much. I probably think there's about five teams that are a piece away, or if the matchups break right and they get hot at the right time, could make the finals.
I think you're right. I lean more your way than Laz's way. Average millennial man in the Twitch chat just asked Tristan for Boston. And I think that that's going to be a popular thing. And,
the Boston's tough thing own, is, yeah.
There's no money to match. Tradable salaries.
Let's get Marcus Smart. You guys get Marcus Smart, and you give him Tristan Thompson, right?
Yeah.
I really like Marcus Smart, but Boston would do that. I doubt Boston would do that. I'm sure they'd love to get a member of the Horford family back in the organization, but I just don't see how the money would work for Tristan.
Yeah, that's one of those things where that team, all their money is invested in their young core, and Danny Ainge is desperately in love with their young core. So it's either that or Gordon Hayward to make any salaries match, and he's too overpaid on the other end. So it's like it's going to be really hard for them to swing for that defensive center if it's a defensive center that makes any money.
I will say there's been a very vocal segment of Pistons fandom that's like, trade Gordon Hayward for Andre Drummond as a way to just kind of fit both teams like currently need. And like that's
before a year.
Hayward probably might have played his way out of that.
Yeah.
Man, that's really weird.
A really weird trade. I can't make heads or tails of that.
Like I kind of like it for both teams, but then I don't know how they would replace what they're moving out.
Exactly. Yeah. That and the Hayward's more prone to injury than Andre has always been like my hang up with that.
But that's kind of nice. Yeah, that's kind of changing chairs on the Titanic. Like, yeah. That's a weird one, man. I'm going to need to marinate on that.
That's the kind of trade I turn down when I'm playing 2K and I'm regulating what their other teams are doing because I don't trust the AI.
I think that's a pretty good analogy. So, guys, I got some really good news for you, though. Really, really big news. What a bounce back half hour this has been for my fantasy hockey team.
Justin. All right, that is about it for the pod today.
Jonathan Marsichal with a Hattie, Palmieri with goals. Oh my God. Guys that I picked up today got goals. It's a beautiful day
right now.
I just needed to discuss Carter one more time. That's what this really came down to. Because I never know when the last time I'm going to pod with him is. So I need to kind of make an impact.
I was like, wait, yeah, dad life isn't like conducive to like podcasting.
We're not quitting, but we are taking a little break.
Who's we? I'm going to replace you.
Oh, wow. That's fair.
Illegal screens up in here.
He's not going to be the same after he has a child. I just don't trust him. All right, Laz, thank you so much for coming on with us. Really do appreciate the insight with the Pistons as well as the Eastern Conference. As I mentioned, everybody check it out. Pistons versus everybody. You can search it. Search for it by name or by searching Blue Wire Pods. Make sure that you do the same thing that we ask you to do for us, which just leaving a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. It's the best way to help support the podcast. You can also tell friends and family about it. If you want to support us directly, you can do so by finding the Chase Down Premium. It's like Patreon, only directly to us. You can also be part of our Discord chat by sending a screenshot of any reviews you leave for us to chasedownpod@gmail.com, and we will send you that link to the Discord. It's a kind of cool place where you can talk about the Cavs. We got game threads, we got trades.
Unfortunately, discussion. We've really let a lot of not Cavs fans in there, so it's getting more contentious by the day.
Yeah, you know what? There is that. The Larry Nance wars are also going on in there.
But we love them nonetheless.
Absolutely, we're an inclusive place. I don't block anybody out. So come join us there and don't be a dick. So however you choose to support us, we do appreciate it. It really does mean a lot to us. Check out Pistons vs. Everybody. Support us. Leave ratings everywhere. That's the best way to support us, Nerds That Podcast. And until next time, go Cavs.